Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Actually, it's about 10 seconds past noon, so good afternoon, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs, at least here on the East Coast. And welcome to the November 4th edition of Education Talk Radio, Pre-K-12 edition. We have a wonderful guest today. Mario D'Antonio is here. He's the sales director for strategic partnerships at Samsung Electrics America. Okay, and I got to thank my friend Sunshine Nance over at Boxlight for introducing me to Mario. We're going to have a nice conversation about hybrid learning, display technology, which Mario is an expert in, how it all works in schools, what schools need, what they need now, what they need for the future. So it's going to be a really nice conversation. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Note the initials in the website, ace-ed, American Consortium for Equity in Education. And that's a place where the industry and educators in K-12 can get together, okay, and try to come up with great solutions, all right, about equity. And it's working. We got a lot of members now. We invite you to join. It's free, of course, for educators. And we have our wonderful magazine, which is called Equity and Access. It's an online journal. We're the only ones focusing on Equity and Access 100%. You can flip through right on site, again, ace-ed.org, and all our podcasts are there. So please check it out, and we tweet over at EduTalk Radio. LinkedIn is my name, Larry Jacobs, and Facebook is over at Education Talk Radio. Without further ado, let me bring on Mario, who I think is calling from Georgia. Are you in Georgia today, Mario?
That is correct. It's good to meet you, Larry.
Yeah, it's good to meet you too, Mario. Georgia's in flux today. Thank God it's the day after the election. We don't have to listen to all the babbling anymore. Okay. Are you in Atlanta?
Wait, there was an election?
I know it was quiet this year. It was a very quiet year for the election. Yes, there was. It was yesterday. Okay. Are you in Atlanta?
Hey, I'm just north of Atlanta, and you'll be happy to know it's a very peaceful and beautiful day in what we call North Georgia.
Good enough. The Peachtree State, I like it down there. It's really quite pleasant.
Absolutely.
How's the weather? Because I'm in Maine, so I always like to know how the weather is everywhere else, because usually it's better than here. So how was it down there today?
It's gorgeous. Not a cloud in the sky.
Wow, that's good. And I hope everything settles with the election. Boy, it is just crazy, this election. We're all going to have to wait together and see who wins. It's that simple. But you're the winner today. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you're here. And now I'm going to ask you, as sales director for strategic partnerships at Samsung Electronics America, okay, so what do you do all day? Are you in charge of school sales, or what happens?
Yeah, so what we do is we align with partnerships where we can develop what we call a co-prosperous relationship. So it's
like
a partnership that builds. Yeah, it's an interesting term that I'd never heard before working with Samsung, and I've been here for a while. Where Samsung definitely benefits. Obviously we work for that company, but then our partner sees a major increase in their business, and also the end customer. And that is really our focus, is delivering excellent experiences to our end customer. Today, where you'll see the majority of my focus in our business is directed towards education. It's absolutely an interest area for us at Samsung. We've got several different initiatives to really impact education in a positive way.
Do you want to talk about those? That's a good way to start. Do you want to just mention those?
Sure.
Or do you want to get right into display?
Yeah,
go ahead. Be my guest. Go for it.
Yeah, we can start off there. So the way we're kind of or the way we address the B2B market in Samsung Electronics America is we kind of look at it from two different angles. One would be the display side, which is where I come from, and the other is the mobile side. But where we work together really, really well is in a program called Solve for Tomorrow, and it's a program that we run with schools to help benefit students and really help provide some thought leadership there and get, you kept talking about equity. I mean, this is an excellent program to really drive that conversation through schools.
Oh, I love that. And I missed the first word. You said it's called Something for Tomorrow. What was that first word?
Solve. Solve.
Solve.
Yeah, solve
S-O-L-V-E.
For
right?
That's
S-O-L-V-E?
Correct. That's correct.
Where are you from? Why did I not hear that correctly? Where are you from?
I'm from San Diego, so I'm told that we have perfect pronunciation. So
then it must be me. It must be my ears attuned to the Northeast, for goodness sakes. Okay, San Diego, pretty good. At least you pick warm weather places. Don't come to Maine in the winter. Right? So I can say to you, solve for tomorrow. All right? And
that's
great.
Right,
so you guys, and let me just jump on that for a second. So you guys are part of the equity picture, so to speak. You see yourselves as working towards equity like many of the companies do. Would I be correct?
Really, our focus is to improve student outcomes and learner outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Really, that's what we're looking for. And that is a part of our DNA, is working towards the best user experience and really driving that home. So for when it comes to students, when it comes to teachers, that really just does play really nicely into our, just the fabric of Samsung.
Yeah, good answer. Good answer. I appreciate that. And display technology, and that was an interesting term, okay?
Yeah.
Display technology, which is it basically what I'm talking about is screens? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, so when my kids ask me, what do? Because they think I'm Batman.
Yeah.
I've got gadgets and all kinds of things in my office.
You must
office.
Have billions of gadgets.
But when they
absolutely.
Ask
me, yeah.
Exactly. So when they ask me what I do, The simplest term is we provide displays. We provide basically televisions. So your consumer television at home, that is a display. And really what we're doing, though, is we're providing a visual communication medium that helps the end user, so whoever that might be. It might be a student. It might be a teacher. It helps them understand what the communicator is trying to deliver to them. And that communicator might be one of our partners. It could be an application. It could be something like messaging content. It could be emergency notifications. There's lots of different ways that we can use this technology. And a lot of times when we think display, we think visual. And yes, visual is a big piece of it, but audio does come into play there. And also tactile responses as well, especially in the classroom when we talk about interactive displays.
Well, take that further. Take that further.
Sure.
I like that.
Yeah, so essentially the way the classroom has been built for years and long before COVID was you have this what we call the traditional classroom, which is you've got a teacher standing in the front of the classroom delivering some lesson plan to the students. Now, that can happen through a number of different ways. A lot of times they're using chalkboards and whiteboards or essentially grease boards, those kinds of things. What we've done is, we've changed that paradigm quite a bit. And by introducing the Samsung ecosystem through this interactive display, or perhaps maybe even a non-touch display, we're able to provide the teacher with many more tools to communicate those lessons to the students. And that could be through touch. It could be without touch.
But it's all part of the display technology world.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do things a little bit differently at Samsung. So, there's lots of different players in this space. But what we believe would be the best product and really deliver the best experience to our end users is something that is, first of all, beautiful. If you've seen Samsung displays, especially in the commercial and the consumer world, you'll notice that our logo is very, very small. In the commercial world, we don't even put a logo on our displays. Our quality is our brand, and we stand behind it. But the display technology includes much more than just what you see. There's plenty more in the back end. So we include something that's called a system on chip. And I don't want to get too tech nerdy with you, but essentially it's a computer that lives on the back of the displays. And that computer is able to provide the content that would be delivered through the display. But in a commercial setting, like a classroom, it also allows the IT administrators for that district to centrally manage all of those in-classroom displays, on the same platform that they can centrally manage all of the hallway, campus displays, administrative, the menu boards in the cafeterias, even the athletics. We can put it all in one system and make it very simple to extend the life of these displays and really manage them long term.
It's pretty cool stuff, and I got to tell you, Mario, when you said the word, I wrote it down, and the word, you could call it the Samsung or any ecosystem, okay? And I love the word ecosystem, and then you went on to describe it, and that's exactly what you were talking about. It's a whole biosphere, if I may, okay? It's a self-contained thing. I like the way you said that. That was really cool, and I think that's important for people to understand. I don't know whether people do understand that. I certainly did, so I really appreciate your explanation. I really do. Now, let me ask you this, okay? Right now, as you know, we titled this show Display Technology and the Hybrid Learning Environment. And as you know, many schools all over the country are in a hybrid learning environment due to the pandemic, okay, which is making us all crazy, and everybody's doing the best they can. Okay,
sure.
How long have you been doing this? Have you been in this for a little while, the school electronics ecosystem business? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. The ecosystem has really been, we learned our lessons through many different markets and many different industries, and we brought that into education, essentially taking the lessons that were learned and helping educators and really the administrators come up with something that isn't just delivering on what I need today, but it's also about how do I manage that over the long term, and then how do I be flexible and true to our cause that we have, that I mentioned earlier, how do we solve for problems tomorrow? And
exactly. I just circled that as you were saying it. And, it's interesting you're saying all this. Yesterday I did a show with a school architect who had just designed a new elementary school in Greenwood, Indiana. Okay, and he used the exact same terms you're using. We have to be flexible, and we have to think about tomorrow. It has to solve today's needs, but God only knows what's coming down the pike in 10 years. We got to be ready to handle that, too. It's the exact same things you're saying, okay? And it just goes to show you that, again, I'm going to use your word, it's an ecosystem, okay? Everything has to work
absolutely.
With everything else. It's really, this is great. This is really
cool.
Well,
that's a commitment.
Go ahead.
That's the commitment that we make in this, because partnering with Samsung is different than working with these other companies. I mean, honestly, Samsung is one of the biggest multinational companies that is around. And so we've been learning lessons from so many different industries and many different products and many different use cases. And all of that comes to bear when we start to build these systems, especially for educators. I mean, if you want to know what's coming down the pike, as you mentioned, a lot of times, due to the immense amount of money that we're spending in R&D, we kind of have a solution for that already. So,
it's already there, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
Okay, which is basically
just in case. Yeah, just in case, we've got it. So,
that's
a big part of this.
And let me ask you this. I meant to ask you this earlier. My friend Sunshine Nance over at Boxlight helped me set up the show, helped me introduce. And how do you work with Boxlight? How's that? What's that relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really our how we entered education. So by taking, again, the lessons that we learned from these other markets, whether it's finance, retail, transportation, so on, to bring that into education, you really do have to have a specialty in what the needs are for education. For them, especially with COVID, the big needs were this adapting to the new normal. And that takes what they call the traditional classroom and what used to be remote learners and blends it together into this hybrid learning. So you might have students in the classroom, you might have students at home, but you're probably going to have a mixture of the two.
Right.
And in fact, in some school districts, I heard in the Northeast, they are starting to look at possibly even having the teacher be remote and have to teach into this hybrid learning system where students may or may not be in the classroom. Crazy stuff. Now, but the fundamentals remain the same. You still have a teacher that has to be able to deliver a lesson plan. What we haven't talked about yet is where all that content comes from. You've got the teacher who's creating this lesson plan long ahead of time. And now due to COVID, you've got this, most teachers are having to take on the additional discipline of becoming a project manager, because now they have to work out schedules for students in the classroom, students out of the classroom. And if, you know, if something happens, like they have to respond to an incident, sometimes they're told to modify their lesson and delivery within hours of actually having to deliver that. And that's, I mean, that's a lot of weight on them. So from a technology perspective, we get that. But from an educator's needs perspective and really getting the lesson plans, the professional development that educators need, that's where we lean on this new partnership that we have with Boxlight. So Boxlight has a product called Mimio Connect, which essentially takes all of the software that an educator would need in order to create, deliver, measure, which, you know, that's testing and assessments, and then also report all the classroom activities. It takes all of that, puts it in the cloud. It lives on our display. So it's an all-in-one unit, and we provide something that's very flexible and, again, manageable for the schools.
That's pretty cool. I did not realize that was actually happening. And when we were when the show was being planned, talking about the display technology, I didn't realize this is really interesting that we're going to go that deep into delivery of education per se, as opposed to just the way that it's presented. Okay, and this is really pretty cool stuff, and I love this. So again, so they would find you through Boxlight. Is that the way that would happen in this case?
It's entirely possible. You could go through Boxlight. However, most school districts have a reseller partner or a channel. We call them channel partners. They might call them a technology integrator or education technology integrator that they already have a great relationship with. We're aligned with all of them. I would go so bold
good,
to say
good.
As
should be.
We're aligned
should
with
be.
All of them. So they could just reach out to their reseller partner and would be happy to work with them on getting a system that, again, takes all the complexity that's out there and simplifies it specifically to those that district.
It is. It's simplifying. And, you know, and you must talk, Mario, to ed tech directors all the time. I bet you probably go to COSIN. Are you familiar with COSIN?
Absolutely.
Network. You know these folks. Okay. And, you know, as you talk to ed tech directors these days, and I'm sure you do, and especially this year as we're trying to figure out exactly which way to go, what are they telling you? What are they saying is most important to them? Because, you know, literally they're going nuts. They really stepped up, and they made education happen in 2020. I got to say that. Okay, because without question, and you know, obviously teachers and everybody chipped in. That's not what I mean. Okay, but what I mean is the whole thing is so dependent. Without technology, none of the rest of it could happen. Okay, it's just
absolutely.
The way it is.
No, we win together. This is
absolutely. So what are the ed tech? And of course, we all missed COSIN together. That was the first thing that was canceled back in March. I remember. I probably would have met you there. Okay, because I was set and ready to go to DC. Yeah,
and I've been grounded since March, so that's about right.
We have been grounded, I got to tell you, okay? And, I mean, it's just astounding. But what are the ed tech directors, as you talk to them, telling you that's foremost in their mind? And, again, in regards to what you do, okay? That kind of thing.
Yeah, there's really three resounding messages that I get from them, and the first one is going to seem awfully familiar, and that is, they are chiefly concerned with improving learner outcomes. And I appreciate that is the center of their target. That is the warm center of their universe, because if everything goes right, but they don't get that right, then nothing is worth the effort that we poured into.
Oh, yeah. That's
but
the bottom line.
Because that's the center, everything really does have a good, true north. And so improving learner outcomes is definitely their big one. The next one is safety, and I would just use that in the broadest term possible, because everyone has a different definition of safety. In fact, regional responses to whether it's COVID or incidents at schools or traumatic weather, all these kinds of things, everybody has a different definition of safety. And so with a flexible platform, we're able to address safety as a chief concern. And then the last one is I mean, whether you're in education or you're running a big business or you're running Bob's Big Boy down the street, I mean, that's the long-term
Or the
assurance.
varsity, or the varsity for a hot dog. You live in
Yeah,
Atlanta. I'll
or
give you
the
that.
varsity. Well, they don't have to worry about this because they've got long-term assurance. I mean, people are always going to want a chili dog and a Coke.
You got
It's
that
just the way
right.
it is. So.
You got that right.
But yeah, so long-term assurance that their investment will continue to yield positive results, that's the last of their chief concerns. So in that instance, they're looking for legacy. They want to put in systems that, hey, I'm going to pay this money today, and it's going to mean something, not just during my tenure here at the district, but for the next person that comes in. And some of these folks are, in fact, elected officials. But many of them are not, and they're just looking out for what's best for the long-term care and feeding of that district, and the future leaders that come through those schools. So those are really their big concerns.
It's key
Learner
stuff.
outcomes, safety, and long-term assurance.
And when you say safety, are you also referring to privacy?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so privacy is another big issue, and
To me, it's the same as safety, to be perfectly honest. It's the same damn issue.
Yeah, and you know, we have this we've got this beautiful culture where kids are now being challenged more than ever to express themselves in ways that previous generations never even had available to them. And so the idea behind safety there, especially when it comes to privacy, is how do we build an environment for them that is both safe for them but allows them that freedom of expression in a way that doesn't impede them. And the simple version of this is we like to build technology, and I really get excited about technology that does the job but doesn't get in the way. And we do this for
It's good.
educators. So far, they've been very happy.
You should do their advertising. It does the job, but doesn't get in the way. I like that. It's a good line.
I
Call
appreciate that.
marketing immediately. Okay, it's that simple. By the way,
I will.
you lost the founder of your company last week, didn't you? Didn't Mr. Samsung
We
die?
did.
He did. Last I heard that in the. Yes.
Yeah, and he, I mean, yeah, so he was a,
Smart man. Quite a
he
guy.
was a, yeah, he really did, he left behind an incredible legacy, but really he was the turning point for this company that really just started off, I mean, trading
Yeah,
noodles. Like,
that's
no
right.
kidding.
That's
I mean, you ever
exactly
want to
right.
talk about, we always talk about the American dream, and for us, it's, typically when we hear about that, at least in my generation, it's, you start something in your garage and you grow it to something big. It means something long, long past your due. What was started, which became the Samsung that we know today, really did. It started as a noodle company, and now it is
Isn't that amazing?
a global company,
Isn't that
helping
amazing?
people to do what they can. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I read the
Incredible.
obit, and it was just. By the way, his name is not Mr. Samsung. I was just using. What is? I just
No.
can't remember his name
No.
offhand. Yeah. Do
No,
you
I'll give
remember
you a little
offhand?
insider.
Yeah.
Samsung actually means three stars. So, just in case
Thank
anybody ever
you.
asks you, what does Samsung mean? There you go. Samsung is
Thank
three
you. I
stars.
didn't know that. That's great. That's
There
good.
you
That's
go.
a. What's a. I'm going to win a bar bet based on that one. I got news for you. That's good.
Well,
I'd like that.
if you get the tattoo, you get a free phone case. So, just saying.
Wow. Wow. I'm telling you, I'm learning all sorts of stuff here. Everybody listen to Mario here. All right, that's cool. Now you all speak Korean. All right, I have to ask you something.
Yes, sir.
On March 15th, or thereabouts, when everything fell off the cliff, okay, everybody got caught surprised and short. All right, everybody did. All right, except a few districts had planned it out better than some other ones did, but of course, nobody knew this was coming. And in terms of display technology, and let's go back to March, okay? And I know you were going to go to COSIN, and just like I was going to go to COSIN's conference in D.C., but what changed at the company in terms of the immediate need that you saw for schools, okay? Like, you're on one track, we all were. Then all of a sudden, we had to make a complete switch, okay? I'm just curious
Yeah.
how it affected. I don't know how to say it. There's the sales, the marketing, the products, etc.
Yeah. Actually, quite a lot. but then
I'm
also
sure,
not
yeah.
very much. And I apologize for the vagueness there, but I'll
No,
give
that's a
you
good answer. Actually, it's
I'll
an
qualify.
interesting answer. Go ahead.
So we have a plan. We've always had a plan, but the only constant at Samsung is change, and we are fueled by that change. We are invigorated by that. And so for us, we have plans for the quarter, for the year, for the next few years. But then we also have technology and innovation that we want to introduce, and we would love an opportunity to introduce into the market, but sometimes it's just not ready. And every now and then there's an event that
Well,
happens that causes us to not change the plan. And really we're not like we are never scrambling. We always have something available to us. Instead, it's really more like you've seen Back to the Future. It's a
yes,
different
I have.
it's you go through and it's like something happened. Okay, now we're on a different timeline. And that's exactly what happened there. You know, we had a plan for education. We were tracking towards solving a current need within education, which would eventually lead to this hybridization of the classroom. And instead of worrying about whether or not the student was in the class or at home, it was really more about how do I get subject matter experts for robotics, STEM, programming, engineering, so on, to be able to remotely communicate into not only the classroom that is interested, but perhaps maybe even additional classrooms, and give districts the flexibility to take the traditional classroom and do something more with it. Well, with COVID, that accelerated a lot of that technology and really gave us an opportunity to say, look, you guys are scrambling for answers. We think we've got it. And with this partnership with Boxlight, that was, I mean, it was serendipitous to find that we found a company that has such a heart for education and
Yeah, they do.
really understands
They do.
the language of the educator, and marry that with our hardware technology and put those things together and be able to deliver something that was an immediate response to the now need of education, as opposed to what they were tracking for.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I've been saying this, and you're actually probably the first true example I would think that I've talked about on the show, where the pandemic, as bad as it is, a lot of people are dead, a lot of people are sick, and that's going to continue, unfortunately. Okay, until we get a cure for it. All right, but the pandemic also somehow becomes an opportunity. All right. In many cases, it's a way to look at things differently. Suddenly, we have to do stuff that we've been putting off. And what's interesting, what you said, is that you guys were actually had the stuff. Okay, you had the stuff. Okay, and you could move quickly with it. You just couldn't use it until we actually needed it. But the pandemic, in a way, I hate to say this, to make some, I got to make some lemonade out of lemons. The pandemic turned out to be something that accelerated it and made it work. And you made it work. It was
Yeah,
there.
there's a
You know,
great
I hope I'm saying that right, because I don't want to say anything nice about the pandemic.
No,
Okay,
I don't think
I'm
you are,
anti-pandemic. Yeah.
I don't think anybody would accuse you of
Yeah.
otherwise. I'm looking out across my out my window, and my neighbor has a sign that says, "We'll get through this together." And
Yes, we
what you're
will.
talking about immediately reminds me of that. And there's a great line from, I think it's Simon Sinek, where he says, "What we don't need right now is positivity. What we need are optimists." And that is like the crux of what we do. It's not just about saying, "Oh, this is, you know, this is awful. We must give up." Instead, it's how do we work together to fight, to win, to succeed, to grow, and even in spite of all these obstacles. And that's what they are. They are obstacles. And so this is a company that is extremely dynamic,
Cool.
extremely
Great.
flexible. And like I said, we're fueled by change. And finding a partner like Boxlight that has very similar
Yeah.
values and a high tolerance to the amount of change that we are used to is, I mean, that is it's a rare thing, and it's a wonderful thing, especially for our education customers.
It sure is, and I'm so glad that you guys are so involved. I mean, Samsung's a good and big company. Okay, and I think everybody knows that. I mean, I have plenty of your products here in the house. All right, and I gotta say, Okay. You know, I'm just thrilled that when you guys get so involved and you start to understand and really make the products for education. It really makes a difference, Mario. I got to tell you, it really does.
Absolutely.
You know, so we got to go, my friend, but thank you. This was wonderful. I really had a good time. It's nice to know you.
Yeah, it's very good to meet you, Larry. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. It's a shame we can't see each other. I look just like Brad Pitt. Put that picture in your mind, because we'll probably not meet for a while. So, yeah.
It's
Okay, it's there. There you go. So when you hear my name, think of Brad Pitt. It's that simple. It's that simple. Okay,
there.
Mario, thanks a
You got
million.
it.
This is just
Sounds
great.
good.
Stay, please, you and the family, stay safe down there in Atlanta. Okay?
You too, Larry. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Mario D'Antonio, who's the sales director. What a good guy for strategic partnerships at Samsung. I believe you know that company, at Samsung Electronics America. Okay, he's based out of Atlanta area and stuck at home like we all are. But man, they got some great stuff. And my good friends over at BoxLight Sunshine, thank you so much for putting the program together and introducing me to Mario. Okay, so check out BoxLight, everybody, while we're on the subject. All right, we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. That is our American Consortium for Equity in Education, and we'll tweet at EduTalk Radio. My name is Larry Jacobs. Can't thank you enough for listening, and Mario, can't thank you enough for being part of today's show. Everybody, have a good day. Stay safe and keep cool. We'll find out who the president is eventually.